Lucas on Life.
Hello, welcome to Lucas on Life. Over the last few Sunday evenings, we've been reflecting on the Lord's Prayer. And tonight, I'd like us to focus upon the words of Jesus, where he taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come." We looked at that last week. And then, "Your will be done." Now, let me say right at the outset of this program that in my view, the fact that we're called to pray that God's will be done means surely that not everything that happens is God's will. We live in a broken world that's not yet fully under his reign. That will happen when Jesus returns. And so still, tragically, terrible things happen, things that he has not designed or planned, things that are not his will. It is surely not God's will that small children are abused, that women are raped, that serial killers go on killing sprees, that a gunman devastates a church or a mosque. Now, that doesn't mean that we're abandoned to chaos, but what it does mean is that we are called into the partnership that is prayer, calling upon God for his intervention, for his will to be done. Ultimately, the big plan of God will prevail. But in the meantime, followers of Jesus, us, we are called to stand in the gap and pray earnestly for God's purposes to be fulfilled. But as we pray, "Your will be done," surely the first starting point of that should be that we want God's will, God's plan, to be fulfilled in our lives. And that's where I'd like us to focus this evening. Because many Christians agonize with the question, as we pray, "Your will be done," how can you, how can I know God's direction, will, and purpose for our lives? More after this. We're thinking about the will of God and knowing his guidance. Guidance was a word that struck sheer terror like a dagger to my heart in my early years as a Christian. Things were going quite swimmingly well until the day when someone mentioned something strange called the will of God. Having worked out that this was not a document that listed heavenly bequests from God to his relatives, I set out on a painful trek to find this will of God for my life. Believers wiser than I advised me that I would need to seek guidance. Apparently, they said, two navigational systems were on offer. The perfect will of God was the spot-on 180 bang-on-target version available to the really keen Christians, and then there was something shady called the permissive will of God, which the careless, slightly iffy apprentices of Jesus could walk in. I snorted with disdain. Nothing less than the perfect version for me, I insisted. I wanted to be within the perfect will of God to the nearest yard. Make that an inch. I headed immediately to the local Christian bookshop in search of assistance in these weighty matters. I really wanted to know God's will. Once inside the bookstore, I discovered that there were lots of books about guidance on offer, which presented an immediate paralyzing dilemma. Which book about the will of God was it the will of God for me to buy? I wandered around the shop and abstained from eating food, fasting, for at least 5 minutes as I did, thinking that this miniature fast would bring revelation to my soul. But alas, I couldn't decide. Several book covers looked promising, but which was the right one? And so began a period of foggy confusion as I sincerely wrestled with the issue of guidance and knowing the will of God. Some well-meaning Christians did their best to point me in the right direction. One of them, most unhelpfully, said that God would speak to me if I just threw my Bible open at random. I just started going out with Kay, who is now my wife, and I was very eager to know if Kay was part of the perfect plan. Carefully removing all bookmarks, receipts, and empty crisp wrappers from my Bible, I flipped it open and stuck my finger at random on a verse. It was from Proverbs, and warned me about consorting with prostitutes. I was horrified. Was there something that Kay wasn't telling me? I'm not the first to trip over the Bible lucky dip routine. It's an old chestnut, but worth telling in case you haven't heard it. A man, desperate for guidance, throws open Bible and plonks finger on verse. It says, and Judas went and hanged himself. Discouraged, he closed the Bible and decided to try Bible lucky dip again. The next verse he randomly found didn't help. It said, "Go thou and do likewise." Feeling ever more desperate, he decided to give the divine dip a final try. Throwing the Bible open one last time, he dramatically closed his eyes and stabbed his finger at the page. The verse said, "What you do, do quickly." Madness. Then I tried the practice of using everyday happenings, like the changing of traffic lights, for example, as a "if this happens, then it means that" indicator. Looking back, once again, it seems rather like madness, but you'd be amazed how many people respond when in public Christian gatherings, I ask how many have tried the traffic light guidance routine. Nervous that the Lord might be calling me away from my apparently wanton girlfriend to a life of celibacy as a missionary to Africa, I offered myself to him while driving one day and asked that if he wanted me to become a missionary, then the next traffic light would be green for go. Thankfully, the light turned red and I was spared a sweaty call to the Sahara. All right, I confess, it was green, but I slowed down until it turned red. Well, more of my mishaps in trying to find the will of God for my life, more of those after this. Your will be done. We're thinking about how we might know the will of God for our lives, and I've been sharing some of the terrible mistakes I made in my early years. One person told me that you'd know that you were on the right track with God because you would feel peace in your heart. Apparently, they said, this sense of peace would be like an umpire in a cricket match. A sense of unrest and emotional turbulence might indicate that the umpire was telling you that you were out for a duck, of the will of God, that is. This created some very serious problems for me. Of course, I didn't have peace, mainly because I was terrified of making a mistake. It's like asking a trapeze artist if he feels peaceful, even as he senses that his foot is about to slide off the trapeze bar. So, as you face the possibility of falling headlong into oblivion below and meeting a rather crunchy end there, do you feel calm? I was locked in a circle of paralysis. I didn't have peace because I didn't have peace because I didn't have any peace. Then one day, I decided to take a closer look at that Bible verse about peace and the umpire, and I found that it's talking about the need for harmonious relationships in the local church. It's got nothing to do with guidance whatsoever. I felt somewhat angry about all of that unnecessary agonizing that I had gone through as a result of bad, out-of-context teaching. It just wasn't cricket. But then things were to get worse as I searched for the will of God, because some bright spark suggested that finding the will of God was very easy. It was just the opposite of anything that I might want to do. It sounds crazy looking back, but it sounded perfectly reasonable back then, but it created emotional havoc. For example, what was I to do about Kay? I was obviously going out with her because I liked her and thought her attractive. So, in that kind of thinking, where the will of God must be what you don't want, this must be a no-no. I must surely find someone that I find numbingly boring and totally unattractive. Yes, that's it. I'll marry someone seriously ugly for your namesake, O Lord. Hallelujah. That'll crucify the flesh, all right. There are quite a few brands of this fairly twisted teaching still in evidence. I've heard more than a few preachers harassed congregations with the "God's dreaming up something nasty for you" approach to guidance. Don't ever say you don't want to do something, they preach. God has a way of making you do that very thing. I heard of a chap who hated hot weather with all of his heart and wept at the possibility of ever having to live in a hot climate. But, pause for effect and build atmosphere to maximum glee for the poor, sweating unfortunate who's now spending his life doing what he hates doing in a place that he despises and where he hasn't had a square meal for years. Guess what he's doing now for the Lord? Yes, he's a missionary in India. Of course, there are times when God will ask us to do something that we're not keen on. Martyrdom, for example. But the notion that he's basically waiting to pour scorn on anything that I might like is somewhat perverse. Imagine me taking a similar attitude to Christmas present buying. Aha! Despite the fact that I know my son would love a surfboard for a Christmas gift, I shall hereby test his affection for me by purchasing some heated hair rollers. Yes. As you can hear, I was really confused about knowing the will of God. Your will be done, we pray. I've been reflecting on some of the mistakes that I've made about trying to find guidance, the will of God for my life. And years ago, I struggled with the idea that God's will affects every moment of our lives. Even if that is true, which I doubt, then I took that to mean that there should be instructions about every detail of my life. So, should I wear a green sweater or my favorite blue one? Should I shop at Tesco's or Sainsbury's? And if I played Cluedo at Christmas, was it already divinely predetermined that Colonel Mustard did the murder in the study with the lead piping? Did God already know the result of a harmless game of table tennis? And more importantly, had he already decided who the winner should be? I got into deeper philosophical and theological hot water. I read one writer who declared, "Would you like to know God's sovereign will for the past? Well, if something happened, then it was part of the plan." As I said at the beginning of the program, I don't believe that. That meant that the two crazed schoolboys who waved guns at Columbine High School and then executed students and teachers before dispatching themselves, that means that that was part of the plan. It means that the obscene photographs that decades ago captured the agony of those jumping out of the Twin Towers in New York to escape the furnace within, it means that that was part of the plan. And I do not and I will not believe that. But I got myself into a right straitjacket about the whole business. And then one day it dawned on me, it was not God's will that I be obsessed with the will of God. God isn't just in the life planning and direction business, moving his children around like pawns on a chessboard. And spirituality is not about a kind of mysticism that continually downloads driving instructions from the beyond. When we do get guidance as Christians, directions about the will of God, it comes out of friendship and relationship with Jesus. God will just not be reduced to being an impersonal oracle. He will be, and forever is, our Father. And here's something radical. There are times when he seems to give us the chance to decide. There came a day when I got quite a shock because thinking about a decision, wanting God's will, I genuinely asked for God's direction about that decision, and his clear reply stunned me. "I don't mind. What do you want to do?" This certainly flew in the face of my belief that anything that I wanted was automatically not what God wanted. Now, I'm not for a moment suggesting a just do what you want approach across the board, but on that occasion, God stunned me by giving me a choice. "Your kingdom come. Your will be done." All these years later, I have something simple to say about guidance. Here we go. Let's stop looking for the will of God. Let me say that again, because I meant what I said. Stop looking for the will of God. Let's start looking for God himself. Enjoy him, love him, share our lives with him. Let him know that we want what he wants. Submission. Celebration. Then guidance, when it's needed, will come naturally, and we won't have to get into the neurosis that dogged my early years. We won't always be hunting for revelation, but true wisdom will find its place in our lives. Your kingdom come, your will be done, as we walk with Jesus this week. May his purposes be fulfilled in us and through us. See you next time.
Lucas on Life.